Welcome to the Calm Down It's Fine podcast, episode number 72.
Same age as David.
We've got Dustin, Harry,
Cameron,
also,
and myself, David, sitting in a hotel room.
Knocking out
a second episode, trying to get ahead of the game since we're always playing catch up.
Yep.
We're glad to have you on this journey. These darts keep falling. Of the Calm Down It's Fine podcast.
Thousand tickets down the train.
Yeah, boy. All right. Here we are.
Dude.
Did you just assume the listeners are boys?
I think majority of them are.
I think most of them are boys.
Demographics
would
check out on that.
Look at.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Yeah,
before we get started going any further, leave a review on our Apple podcast. We're going to start sharing the reviews on the Apple podcast.
Subscribe. Subscribe on YouTube.
Instead of wishing marriage, just go write a review.
Yeah, write a review on Apple podcast. We're going to share them on Instagram. If you haven't written one yet, go do it because we're going to start sharing them. And it's a good way for you guys to support us. So just do it, okay? Like Nike. Just do it.
But we figured we had Harry, so we gotta try and get two episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutist.
You know? It's hard. Harry's time is hard to come by these days.
That's the truth.
True.
Yeah, it is. So we have to
use him. We'll figure it out
once we have a
house story about getting ready.
Yeah, we will figure it out. We'll have to...
We can Zoom call, Nikki said.
Yeah.
I want to zoom up to my room. In heaven.
Praise the Lord.
All right. I can never find my email on...
It's the same iPad every week, so I don't know.
You're right.
Should have like a tab open to that.
Gmail? That right there?
Thanks, man.
I don't know. It looks like an envelope.
Yeah, it's got a big M.
It's like a red, yellow, green, blue. All
right. Gmail. All right, so we got a couple emails. We're going to make this quick. Michael Shelton said, I had to get a new credit card because my old one was stolen and haven't had time to punch in my new numbers for the subscription because I've been in Bulgaria since the 1st of October. Give us a plug, David.
Give us a plug?
Bulgaria.
Talk about
Bulgaria.
Trying to give us money.
Oh.
That was perfect.
I thought you wanted me to plug Bulgaria. I don't know anything about Bulgaria.
Why would we plug Bulgaria? Listen, I have a new credit card because I lost my credit card. Michael Shelton, so he hasn't been paying.
Yeah,
he hasn't
so new basically, order. What we're saying is now that our funds have taken a hit and we're starting to feel it.
Exactly,
and we need you guys to stand in the gap.
Stand in the gap like a man of God, or
put
God.
In a subscription for $4.99, $9.99 a month, so that
99 cents a month.
Something. So that we can
help sustain future episodes
and put food on the table. Yeah. Really, is the end
the
goal
car.
Here.
Because we do buy snacks.
We do.
People are coming in. It is nice to actually buy snacks.
Yeah.
Not out of my own bank account.
Yeah.
Which has never not been done.
Also, the more money you guys subscribe in, the quicker we can churn out new t-shirt ideas and hats and hoodies and
hats.
All the
we
ideas.
Actually,
we have ideas right. Floating around.
Go on to episode description. You can click support this podcast and you can do that. He finished by saying, I'm on a mission trip until the 31st when I fly back. If y'all want to know about it, remind me after I get back. These C diffs y'all are pumping out are the funniest yet, and I haven't even listened to one.
What do we do if we don't want to know about it? He gave us instructions for if we wanted to hear, but what if we don't?
Yeah, what if we're
what
we if
we
just
pass.
Put in your credit card number, man, and just move on. All right, we're busy people.
Yeah.
But he hasn't listened to them, and he thinks it's
the funniest yet.
And then he says, calm down, it's fine. David's my favorite. Yo!
Yo!
And that's what he said.
Terrible.
Right, cool. Yo! When he pointed that out at first, I didn't realize that I did that. And then...
you caught yourself doing it as he was writing yo.
Yeah, and now I know I do it
all
the time.
You can count that as a win for yourself today. That puts you over the top. Now you're the winner.
Hey, Dustin, why don't you get your nose out of this?
Why don't you go away from me?
I think Cameron's just upset that me and Dustin are closer now that he is.
Yeah, Dustin has ought with me that he might want to get right at some point. All right. You guys have talked about a lot of interesting things, but you need to just... This is Gabriel Shelton. You guys have talked about...
Gluten Boy. All
right. You guys have talked about... No, that's what you said. You guys have talked about a lot of interesting things, but you need to discuss in more detail how seahorses are stronger than chickens.
Which is kind of crazy.
You
want to
get on that? Check it out.
Yeah, this is the seahorse power and the chicken power thing that we looked up, I guess at this point, like two episodes ago.
Yeah. Why? Because it's more imperative that his imperial cluckiness, General So Toe, General Toes, is it T-S-A-W?
General So's, like
General So.
So.
No, oh gosh. Because it is more moral, oh gosh. Seahorses are stronger than chickens. Why? Because it is a moral imperative that his imperial cluckiness, General So, knows for his upcoming campaign against the mighty king Naoslot of the aquatic kingdom of Gurgle. Also, because I think it's interesting. Golly.
What is this?
I have no idea. A solid Sodophrodite. That makes sense. What?
We
are these actual names you guys made up?
No, he made up the names, but we did figure out, we found the equation of how many seahorses make one horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out how many chickens make up one horsepower
on land.
And seahorses, it takes less seahorses to make a horsepower than it does chickens. Meaning,
what if they're on land though?
That seahorses would be. Well, that's the whole point of seahorse power.
There you go.
Instead of horsepower, seahorse power.
So we for boats. We do a podcast. We do a podcast every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so like if you go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, you can. There's a, it's called Calm Down, It's Fine Podcast.
What's the link I could go?
Seed of Podcast. I'll send you a link. Yeah, but so, I'll leave a review. I actually think you'd actually probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
You can just click on it and listen.
Subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah. Anyways, so thank you, Gabriel. And then we have one more. It says, hello, this is from Ashley Namir. I'm just wondering if you would be willing to share this fundraiser for my dad. He's still battling his terminal diagnosis of cancer. Remember, we were praying for him.
Mm-hmm.
But we are trying to alleviate his financial burden while he is here. Please continue to pray for a miracle, and we would appreciate spreading the word on this GoFundMe page. Thank you. God bless. So, David, you can put this up in
If you forward me the link.
We'll put it out.
Bless you.
Dude, we'll one put it an episode. In the here it
episode
comes.
Description.
One horsepower is the equivalent of 160 seahorsepower.
See?
And then
the math that checks out. It's there.
That's a strong seahorse.
Seahorses apparently are very strong. 160 seahorses make a horse?
Well, 7,000 chickens to produce one horsepower.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, so it's like not even close.
Well, like in the sea, don't people ride seahorses around?
Yeah, that's how dolphins move.
Little dolphin, yeah.
Do you think that you could beat 100 seahorses in a fight?
Ooh, I guess not. I don't know.
I don't
how
know.
Big are in the things? Water?
Largest
in the water.
Or on the land.
Seahorse.
Ooh. Home court advantage. Because 160 meet up a horse, and I don't think that I could fist fight a horse to death. But my tiger could kill a horse.
The largest seahorse is a big belly seahorse. Their average length is 18 to 28 centimeters, but their biggest one ever was 35 centimeters long, which is, that's pretty long.
Quick question. Your arm. Was your phone in your hand and you read a text message on your watch?
Yeah.
Oh, you have two phones.
It's a work phone.
Mm.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, dude, seahorses apparently are way stronger than I ever gave them credit for.
There you go.
And, you know, I thought about it all the time.
Yeah. I think about it every day. <I know. laughs>
Very, very interesting how we got to that. There you go.
Yep, there it is.
I always get behind on Instagram DMs from people, and I need to put some of these on. Aaron Black sent. All right, let's see what this is.
What are we going to get Aaron Black for?
Money. Korea's latest workout invention that gives you shake way to run for its money. Take a look at what we found. According to the YouTube what is going on? What is going
what is
on?
That?
According to the YouTube description,
what?
This is for people who like to ride horses in front of their TV. Am I reading? What is going on? And like to giddy up in their own home.
This is what Aaron Black said. I've not
I'm
seen
so
this.
Confused.
So that laugh sounded like a teapot kettle.
It's
finally got hot.
It's like, you know, shake weight's ridiculous, like, and totally like not practical whatsoever. Yeah. So a
well,
person has
you get crazy
what essentially looks like
it's a floaty. He's
it's
wearing
a floaty,
pool floaty,
but they're moving it with their hips like, as if they're using a hula hoop.
It looks like a hula hoop.
So when you're wearing a floaty and you're moving your hips, it looks very interesting and very unnatural. Like it shouldn't be Done. All right. So, anyway.
That's how you get in shape.
All right, here's another one from Darren Black. Here we go.
This is like probably one of those songs that like Christians kind of rebrand. Smeagol.
Oh my goodness.
What?
I wouldn't be able to sit in a church service like that.
No.
No.
That's brutal.
It's game over. It's
terrible.
Game over. I'm out loud laughing.
Dead.
Dude, if I was sitting in a church service and halfway through the song, the man just turned into Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks, it's game over.
Not okay.
Not going to happen.
Not even remotely okay.
It's game over. Listen, I find it hard to get through some stuff that's not nearly as bad as that, and that would break me.
All right, Harris, this is from... this is from Harrison. Context. It's a man walking up to a house and he's delivering a package. He looks very unkept.
It's very heroic.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package. And I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, but by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again.
Five
you
years.
Keep up the good work.
Dude, 5 years! He's on an island with a package, and then he delivers it. And have you ever, satellite phone, GPS locator, everything.
Have you ever seen Castaway?
No. Yeah, I don't know.
Wilson!
Wilson the Volleyball.
Yeah.
Well, so fun. Well, isn't, like, the dentist that, like, his wife made, like, marries, like, Dr. Spaulding or something like that? Always found that ironic.
I never watched.
The dentist's last name was, like, Spaulding. Right? Like, the sports.
Yeah.
Like, a basketball. And yeah, then and his that, best friend yeah, is Wilson. A Wilson. And I was like,
oh, did I have the Travis Kelce on there? One, the one I sent last.
You want that one? You want me to play it?
I don't know. So it's High School Musical.
But it's Travis Kelce.
Somebody AI.
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce's face on Zac Efron and the other one on. Right now I can
hardly breathe. That looks unnatural. Just know that I believe. And that's all I really need. Travis Kelce every Sunday, Taylor Show stuff.
What? That is crazy.
That's
crazy. So have you ever watched High School Musical?
Like
no, I didn't watch High School Musical.
I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to Dustin.
Cameron lived it.
Miss Heather sent us one. Here we
hey,
go.
Dustin, what day is Waffle House open?
Thanksgiving.
This is so sad.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about the saddest thing that was said today.
Dude, like, I didn't think it was that big a deal.
Huh?
I didn't think it was a big deal.
Yeah, you didn't. Everybody else in the van was like, well, I have to kind of kill the mood a little bit.
He's like, Dustin's like, yeah, I like Waffle House. He's like, oh, yeah, I like Waffle House too. He's like, yeah, it's open every Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I used to go to Waffle House and eat by myself every Thanksgiving.
From 18 to 24, absolutely.
I couldn't go home for Thanksgiving when I was in the Army, so me and my buddies would just get a Waffle House.
Tough, man. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your support.
All right, this is from Miss Heather. What we got?
Tambourines on a shoe.
On shoes. So, man... What's that? They're doing this? This is like Pentecostal.
Oh,
parade.
This is like a real thing.
Oh my god!
So this isn't a joke. This is like a real thing that's happening.
No, no, no. It is a joke. They just don't know it.
Oh my goodness.
That's so insane. These shoes are heels. But the strap along the front of the heel is got tambourine
praise
symbols.
Praise the Lord, man. They so want to praise the Lord too, okay, man? They want to praise him. Because you can't, you know, vocalize in church. Right. Yeah. Women keep silent.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
All right. Does that apply to feet as well?
This is really hilarious. The question. Look, this was sent to me by Daniel. How in the heck?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you have to log in.
Anyways, it says, this man was arrested for faking heart attacks to skip out on the bill at fancy restaurants. Police say he's done this 20 times. That's
the headline. What, he got away with it 20 times?
Accessory, that's good.
Like, hoop! Gong. Done. Dude, that's good. Dude,
how do you...
The first one. Keep going.
Yeah, I don't know how you get away with that. Like, once.
Keep going until you fail. Yeah,
but to pull that off 20 times...
It's insane.
That means at least 19 times you did it and nobody knew
and
what
no
was going on.
And no one had any idea.
Yeah.
That's... Dude.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Did you guys hear about the people who... what is it?
Do you think the serial killer's caught by now?
The serial killers?
The one in New Hampshire.
Not no, I don't know. Lord, Maine? Help them.
Yeah, they caught him. I got a news alert. Yeah, they found him dead. He killed himself.
Did they actually?
He killed himself?
Yep.
Oh, I don't think we're allowed to say that on YouTube.
He had a note. They said that he was going.
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to say those words.
He
unalived himself.
Yeah, he self-deleted.
Himself no longer living.
He deleted himself?
Yeah.
All right. There's a monologue from Matt Walsh that I want to play to start our topic.
The topic?
Yeah, I guess I'll just look it up on YouTube because I saved it, but I think it's on my phone and it didn't get linked to here. But it's a really great monologue. So
no, he's still alive.
Still no, alive. No, he's dead.
Is he alive or dead, fellas?
That's what
I mean. Those are the only two options. So
suspect in Maine mass shooting is dead. Breaking news.
Okay.
Let me judge report has updated.
See?
I'm gonna find it. I can find it real quick, Lord willing. Just give me a second. Anyways, you guys can say something.
So
yeah, unalived himself.
Yeah,
self-deleted. Yeah. So before we get into the topic, Cameron and I are going to preach a youth rally together.
And we said that, didn't we?
Oh, we did. We did say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guys, you got to be able to talk without me saying
you,
something.
You set up a topic and then pulled the rug out
but
from
here's
us.
The deal.
I didn't say the topic.
But this is what happens. So then we talk, and then he's like, oh, I'm tired of hearing your voice. And then,
then
that happened last time.
Start your own podcast, bro. You keep coming at me.
That dude, happened. Twice.
It's way
that happened
more
the
successful
last time.
Than
do you
one.
Remember?
We have the skinny white boys with Jordans.
Yeah.
Although I'm wearing Air Force Ones. I'm wearing Hey Dudes.
I got Hey Dudes.
Glad you woke up.
Hey, three of us have Hey Dudes.
Yeah.
I thought I could find a clip.
And then one of us has standards.
I have an extra pair of Hey Dudes in the room if you want.
If you want to join.
I've never worn a pair of Hey Dudes.
They're pretty comfy. I like them.
I don't hate Hey Dudes. I don't like the ears.
Yeah,
I like the little dog ears. I don't like them.
I started putting them on all my shoes.
The dog ears?
Yeah.
It's just like, he just has like a regular pair of shoes. Like
it's
tied,
actually the main reason
ears.
I want the Hey Dudes is for the ears.
It's for the ears?
Yep.
Really? I don't know. Something about the ears. I just don't like them.
Yep. I even put them on my belt. So there's like an ear on each side.
Okay. You know, it's a style choice.
Yeah. It's my life now.
Actually, now I have to find exactly where in this clip it's at.
Oh, my goodness,
man. Yeah,
women are
here.
Women, the worst, right?
Was accepting going 50-50 with men, and I have come to the realization that it is for me.
But feminists have recoiled at this development. You can have realistic, you know, are patriarchal and paternalistic, and they have to be abolished. They shouted from the mountaintop that they are exactly equal to men, the same as men in every respect, and they certainly don't need a man to take care of them or provide for them.
Oh,
they have growled and they have shrieked and they have made their voices heard. And then to their horror, many men started to take them seriously. Men listened to these protestations and they said, okay, well, if you say so, as you wish, you can have what you want. Which means, among other things, that when the bill is put down on the table, many men will not instinctively reach for it.
He kind of just dashes around in rabbit trails to like the point, like women say they want equal rights, but then they can't handle it. Anyway, go off, Matt Walsh. Go on.
Basically, this this clip, we're talking about feminism, but this clip Matt Walsh puts out, he's talking about women are now recoiling to where men aren't paying the bills on dates, and the women are like, oh, gasp. So, but now the women have turned it around to, you owe us for all the years of patriarchal reign. So it's just reparations for us. That's what it is. So continue.
Independent girl boss, pay the tab, or at least pay half of it. Mm. But feminists have recoiled at this development. No, they cry. We want to be independent, but not like this. Not if it means I have to pay for my own Santa Fe salad at Chili's. But how do they make this case? Can they really become a damsel in distress as soon as the bill is placed on the table and then get right back to being empowered and progressive a few minutes later? How does that work? Well, different feminists have come up with different ways of grappling with this important question. Here's one influencer on TikTok giving right. her answer.
He says
answer.
It really Watch. Well, so just might as well listen to him say it.
The thing that I have realized about this topic is that there are so many women that really do advocate for not going 50-50, right? And for me, I definitely went through like my, well, I'm a feminist. I shouldn't have an issue going 50-50 face, right, when I was younger. But recently, I started to realize just how difficult it was accepting going 50-50 with men. And I have come to the realization that it is because even as a feminist, it is the only benefit women reap out of the patriarchy. A benefit we did not create the rules for. Y'all did. But it is still a benefit that women get from the patriarchy. So whenever men start advocating for like, well, what about equality? Pick up this check or whatever. It in when hey, I hear that, it's like, us. You're literally trying to rid me of the only benefit I get out of the patriarchy. The only, like, think about it for a second. Is there any other benefit we get out of the patriarchy?
Let me step in there for a moment. I'll answer your question, ma'am. But first, I have to point out how, by your own logic anyway, this is the most pathetic stance I've ever seen anyone take. Because by your telling, we are a patriarchal society, and the patriarchy is an abject evil, you say, and yet you wish to extract whatever benefits you can from it. This thing is evil and terrible and should be dismantled, but I also want to reap its rewards. This makes you significantly worse than the patriarchal men who, according to you, uphold an oppressive system, but at least, you know, we don't see it as oppressive. You do see it that way, and yet you also uphold it, just so that you can get a free meal at the Cheesecake Factory.
There's one more thing, he says.
So pathetic doesn't even begin to describe it. But to your question, is there any other benefit that That's you right. get out of what you call the patriarchy? The answer is yes, a few. You know, there are a few. Benefits like, I don't know, the house that you're currently sitting in, every bridge you've ever driven across, every car you've ever driven in, electricity, indoor plumbing, democracy, freedom,
yeah.
civilization itself, just to get the list started. So all of these things were all largely invented, established, built, maintained by societies that you would call patriarchal. So
that's it. But like everything he said, I was like, I was going to try to repeat it, but it's just so, that is so funny how that is actually a trending movement on social media right now with women who have pushed for equality and we're the same and I'm a girl boss. And now they're saying the only thing they benefit from the patriarchy is getting a free meal at a date. And yeah. then someone else goes on further to say, I saw one reel where it was like the girls say they need the guys who are going on a date with a woman need to pay for her makeup, her gas, her Uber, everything. So she can go on the date, but she still wants to be a girl boss. Like, yeah. I'm my own woman. But when it comes to this stuff now, it's all, it's just like,
well,
insane.
I mean, the mentality of that kind of way of thinking stems back to just like children. Like children are even like that. And
oh, yeah.
I guess if you don't grow out of it, you don't grow out of it. But like, if you look at a kid will expect you to share everything you absolutely have with them. But then when it turns into they have to share something, then it's like,
yeah.
No.
Women are like children. Miss Harrison and Nick, you're still here.
Miss Harrison. Miss Harrison.
Miss Heather. Nice catch.
So, yeah, it's anytime you come across somebody who
kind of fights that way or kind of thinks that way,
it's always like a welfare mentality.
It is. It's an entitlement for sure.
Well, yeah. And
it's the whole, like,
everybody should take care of me and I should not do anything.
Right.
Yeah, but, which is, like I said, that's a child mentality. That's a child, like, that's what you do with children.
What is feminism?
Well, originally, from my understanding, it was so that
was it like suffrage?
That was basically it. You have three different waves of feminism. First wave is classical feminism, which was like women's right to vote.
Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Dustin, just wake up from a dead sleep.
Alyssa Milano feminism over here.
Three waves.
Yeah, so like the original, because women, like the feminist movement was going on the same time.
You just Googled this.
No.
Okay.
The feminist movement was going on the same time as the abolitionist movement during the Civil War, but it didn't gain as much traction because obviously people weren't focused on the war. So then after the war, it became more of
all the women were like, "Whoa!"
It became like a women's rights thing. The biggest and most interesting part of the women's suffrage movement is obviously not that, I mean, women should, you know, maybe have an opportunity to vote, but most women weren't a part of the movement. The movement was like 90% men who felt guilty that women couldn't vote.
Yeah, well, here, this video is actually queued up right now about voting. So what
women did? Well, yeah, women didn't want to write the right to vote because that came with being...
Okay, I'm ready to give up the vote. Take it away. In case you missed the title above, this is a map of how voting would look if only men voted. The low T soy betas, obviously, on the coastal cities. This is the dream. You could not put a more tantalizing map in front of me. Unless, of course, if this map just showed California magically breaking off from the rest of us. But it's all red if women are voting. Listen, Nate Silver and 538, they've put stuff like this out before. I don't except think like major cities ever this red. But I'm not surprised. We know guys are trending more conservative. And why wouldn't they with all the brain bashing going on these days? There are so many great articles now about high school guys, college guys also finding their voice. And my vote's getting me nowhere. It's like screaming into the wind because unhappy, unmarried liberal women are the only reason Democrats are competitive. Look at this chart. If you look at married men, married women, and unmarried men, Republicans get the majority. It is only in the unmarried women category, which is just so overwhelmingly in favor of Democrats, that they possibly win elections. So, yeah.
Cut that, David. David.
30 minutes.
But basically, the only reason Republicans aren't winning or don't ever win is because of women voting. Now, I'm for women voting, but all the single women in the world are voting Democrat. 39% of the vote is single women, and it goes Democrat. So the point is, it doesn't get, like, all the conservative women, it's not getting them anywhere. Like, literally, there's an argument to be made if the heads of the household, which were the men by the Bible standards, were voting, this country would be in way different shape. What? Because it would be how it was supposed to be. Like, I'm totally okay with the leader of the house voting for the house.
It's that whole kid mentality. Like, you're going to vote for somebody who's going to pander to what you want, as opposed to like, okay, actually, like, the whole kid mentality in the Democrat society is like, hey, just give me stuff. And I don't want consequences. So yeah, if you're in that 20 group where just you're in that same child mentality, you're going to vote for that.
Right. But,
does that make sense? You're going to keep voting for it.
Can I finish what I was saying earlier?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
First wave.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah. So anyway, the point I was trying to make was that, like, most of the movement was not women; it was men that felt guilty that women couldn't vote, and then women that did want the right to vote, but a lot of women didn't because it came with being in the draft, and then also at the time because they didn't have like a standing like firefighter force that came with like firefighting duty, because that's what men fulfilled at the time. If you could vote, then you were part of fire guard. So,
yeah.
So that's the first wave thing, right?
That's classical. That was mostly the right to vote. That was like 90% of
which is not anything that I would be against.
That was before then.
Like, which is not anything I would be against. So at what point, you said there's three waves?
Yeah, the second wave was like somewhere between the 60s and 80s, I think.
Yeah.
It might have started in the 40s.
Miss Heather has her.
Miss Heather.
I was gonna say, that first wave also. Here, just hand her the mic. Like,
it's Sign me. I'll be out of the picture. Anyway, that first wave also included that when a woman could not inherit.
Yeah.
So that was a huge thing. So I'm thinking of myself, like,
couldn't inherit.
So say a man had a farm. Say the family had the family farm, uh-huh. But he only had a daughter, but she was married. So when she Harrison, let me think. So anyway, so ooh, when
he's a married man now.
No, he's not yet. So anyway,
he's well married so when this episode comes
so
out.
So what happens is he because she was married, she could not inherit the farm. Her husband would,
okay.
Even though it was her family. And if he back then also like he could drink that whole farm away. You know, if he had a problem,
right. Yep, right.
So she could not stop her husband from destroying her family's, you know, inheritance.
Right.
So that was a big thing. What that was also part of that whole women's suffrage.
I feel like that's one of the things that like gets thrown in. That's a good thing, but it's like on top of it, there's a whole bunch of applesauce that comes with it.
Well,
that's
what I'm saying. When you're talking specifically about this first wave, I guess that's what they. I don't know.
That's what I mean. It wasn't called that at the time. That's what it would be called looking back now.
That doesn't sound like anything I would be against. So at what point did it get wild?
The second wave was like was more of a like the last the one, year or more wave, of a cultural thing.
Yeah. It's basically feminism is about all genders having equal rights and opportunities. It's about respecting diverse. Women's experiences, identities, acknowledge and knowledge and strengths, and striving to empower all women to realize their full rights. Now, I get that, but you cannot stray from society. You cannot go on a cultural like if we said now like women have rights. Of course, women have rights.
Right. You also
but also there's a Bible way of doing things. The Bible sets it up. A woman's role. Now, there's just so many scattered, and we're in a broken world. But traditionally, the Lord, God set it up to where it's a man in charge, and then there's a woman who is like the main part of a man. Like, a man can't be a man without his woman. And a woman technically can't be what she's supposed to be as far as having kids, raising the family, being the Holy Spirit of the home. And we've pushed the ladies into the workforce. And the government even said this, put it in writing. They wanted to have every household be dual household because of taxing.
Yep.
Double the income.
The government makes more money.
All the women are now going to work in the 1960s. And then the government's like, yeah. Double money. They tax both incomes.
It started,
boom, more
it started
money.
In the 40s with the war effort.
Right. Was like and then the if you push. Have generations and generations of kids going to school and both parents not raising the kids, you're going to end up with what we have right now. So my point is, the woman and the man's first job is to provide. The woman's first job is to raise the kids. Now, of course, that's not Miss Heather is sitting right here. Like, what is she supposed to do? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she has to provide for her family. That's perfect. But in a perfect world, how it's set up and how God has it, and if everything runs perfectly, it's supposed to be this way. So when you have a fractured society and you have all the women running things, well, thank God for, you know, Deborah's in the Bible. When you have women running things and women pushing for everything the same as men, you get lopsided and you have a society that turns out all these feminists who are pro-abortion, my body, my choice,
yeah,
all selfishness. It does nothing relate. Nothing is God. A everything is just self, like you said, a child.
And it's like just a lot of the movement is, you know, talking about what you said in the reading off the iPad. It's talking about rights, my rights, my rights, my rights, my rights. Well, with responsibility, like with rights, there's responsibility. And the emphasis is so much on what are my rights? What do I, like, you know, what do I get? What do I get? What do I get? As opposed to like, what are you doing to make society better as a whole?
Correct.
As opposed to, so there's so much emphasis on rights as opposed to responsibility as a citizen, responsibility of contributing, responsibility to whatever
like they
it
just
might
said,
be.
Every single thing, like this hotel was built by men. The roads were built by men. There are women who do those things, but the exception proves the rule. The nation was founded by men, and that's not like, oh, we're better than anyone. That's their job. That's their role. That's who get things done like that. The women aren't doing that. So there is a part of like, let's bash the patriarchy. Let's bash the men for doing, you know, for just being the patriarchy. But it was men who built our nation and who built cultures and built societies and gave up their lives and fought and provided. And then they're just getting dumped on by this whole culture wave of feminists who are like, feel like they've been thumbed down all these years. But if there were not men, there would be no society.
Right.
Well, if there were not women, there wouldn't be a society. Right. So it all works together. I don't think you should treat women disrespectfully. I don't think you should treat... I think it's all...
Well, I think we have some differences then.
No, but I mean, the Bible says for husbands to love their wives. It doesn't say for the wife to love the husband.
Yep.
It says to honor, right? But we're supposed to love our wives. We're supposed to respect our wives. We're supposed to be someone who can be loved and respected, not to be like, oh, I'm better than you. You listen to me, woman. I'm not. That's not at all. Like, you know my mom. If you know my mom, she is tough as, you know, nails. So that definitely didn't go on in my house. Her mom, dad was like, rah, 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 rah. But she knew her role in the fact that she's going to follow dad, and that's how it's set up, and it sets a pattern for her children. And, you know, it's just how it's supposed to be in a perfect world. But obviously, there's fragments everywhere.
But there's a lot of this stuff, like women naturally don't necessarily want to do the same things that men do. So, like, when I was in basic training, we were, like, the third class to allow females in the infantry, and the army didn't understand why there wasn't like this giant, the floodgates weren't opening to all these women wanting to do it. I started basic training with in a company of like 130 people. We had 18 girls, and we finished with 4.
Yeah. And that's not,
and it's like most of them didn't like even fail out. They quit.
Right.
They didn't want to do it. They were like, I don't actually want to do this.
There's a difference. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, oh, you're weak. No, they're not made to do that. You can be coaxed into doing that. You can be talked into it. You can like the idea of doing it. And there are girls who can do it.
All the females that did graduate with us were out of the army within the year because they couldn't handle it. Or at least they even said that they couldn't handle it. And that's not saying that anyone's better than anybody. But
it's a matter of, like Cam said, like it's... In a perfect world, right? Like, it's not so much that we look down on them because they couldn't handle it, but it's also a matter of, like, they weren't designed to handle that kind of a thing. Like,
right.
Designed for a specific purpose with, like, a specific, like everybody is designed in a specific way for a perfect world. Right. Like, Harry's getting married tomorrow. Like, Harry has a purpose in his life that God has set it for Harry, and that purpose is for him to lead himself and starting tomorrow, like his wife, and then her purpose is to be that help so that he can be the leader that God wants him to be, and that's the way it was designed. And it's not that there's going to be things that Ruth can't do, but we don't look down on Ruth because of that, but there's also things that like Harry's not built to do, and Harry's not designed to do.
Correct.
And Ruth's not to look down on him for not being able to do that because he was designed for a specific purpose. She was designed for a specific purpose. God brings them together. And then if they both live according to that purpose, then they grow accordingly. So it's not like, it's like this weird thing where it's like, you look at somebody who can't do the exact same things that you can do and you think less of somebody. It's just, it's not how they're built.
Yeah. Even in the animal kingdom, you know, like a lion, the girl lion goes and gets all the food.
Yeah.
The dude lions just be chilling. They literally do nothing.
They do nothing.
And somehow they're the king of the jungle.
They're the king of the jungle. That lioness makes her king. The king of the jungle. Yeah,
he just does nothing.
Nothing. So
nothing.
I think that ends this podcast. Enough said. No. But like you said, God made everybody for a certain purpose and a certain task. God did have a Deborah, a leader, right? And that's, you need that sometimes when men aren't standing up. Like I saw this thing about this Jewish girl. And she was IDF, or she is IDF, but she was reserve. Mm-hmm. And she was in her, the kibbutz, whatever, like the community. And she woke up and she saw these terrorists coming. And she got her M4, her M16, or whatever, and she shot two of them. And then she runs out of her house in her pajamas, rallies with her tactical team. They killed a couple people in her team. And she got in contact with one of her officers. And both of them, in their pajamas with their guns, killed like 22 of these Hamas fighters. I mean, talking about this girl is bad to the bone. So I'm not at all saying girls, these MMA fighters
could beat me up for sure.
These girls who were, you know, like arm wrestling, like, there were some bad. My sister, my wife can do, could, before she had the baby, could do 50 push-ups easy in a row. Like, she's tough. So women can, I'm not saying women can't do things, but you cannot build your culture, your society, your kingdoms on the emotions, thoughts, and feelings of a woman, because that's not what it's supposed to be. You can't do that. You can't run a church like that.
I mean, props to where they do. I think I read somewhere, Dustin could probably either correct me or I guess give further insight because he's better at history than I am. But I read that one of the biggest driving forces as to why America has won like the wars like that we have is the woman force, because when every man is off fighting a war for America, the women quite literally made sure that society was still here when they came back.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I mean,
they'd worked in the factories.
Yeah. Kudos to where it goes. You know,
they even played baseball.
Like, yeah. Cause
they literally, what was it called? In the 1940s, World War II,
there was a League of Their Own. There was a movie about it, right?
A whole baseball league that women, that was put together to try and build morale. And it was also, like, it was very, very popular. It was just girls, men's wives who were out fighting, playing baseball to support their husbands and just bring some entertainment. And it wasn't dirty. Like, I don't want people, they were literally clothed and just like baseball players. But they're playing, and it was, I mean, that's what the majority, that's what you need. You need women who will support the men. That's really, and then, but men can't do it without the women.
And then ultimately. You know, the argument is that women can be just like men and all that other stuff. But, yo, I don't want to marry a manly woman. No. Like, no. I wanted a feminine woman. Like, I wanted a woman who's a woman. Like I'll be the man, you be the woman. Like, that's what I'm looking for. And there's this mentality of like women want to be men,
yes,
and in just, like, yeah, whether it be socially or
I mean
in 2023, but
yeah, I just listened to someone say it was a statistic. It was some type of female clothing line. I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but they started going to the branding of, they got Megan Rapinoe, who was that lesbian soccer player
from the US team.
Yes, they got some girl. I think it was Lizzo or something. Is it Lizzo? The
fat girl,
big rapper. Yeah,
all these.
Big,
girls
big isn't like
who weren't
big, not popularity.
Anything what like no man or woman says these are attractive people, and they made them the like face of their brand, and they have lost like four. They're going to be down like, I think it's like, it's almost $1 billion they lost this year. And so what they literally did at this last quarter, they just completely, and they put out this big statement about, oh, we're going this way and this is how it is, and the man idea of what a woman should be is blah, 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 blah. They lost $1 billion. They literally went, whoosh, and they're going right back to what had made them $4 billion last year or whatever. Right. They're like, yeah, that didn't work. We're not doing that. Because you can't tell men, and I'm not saying like men are pigs, but you can't tell men what they're supposed to be attracted to. Like, you can say, yeah, you need to be attracted to Lizzo and Megan Rapinoe with short blonde
super common.
I don't want my wife to look like a man.
Agreed.
Like you said.
Don't?
The super common example people give is like when like there's always the picture of like the guy and
it's the mic.
Do it again.
The guy and the girl are like about to go on a date, and she's like, "Well, how tall are you?" And he's like, I'm 5'10 or whatever. And she's like, oh, 5'10. And then he's like, how much do you weigh? And she's like, how dare you ask?
Yeah,
it's and good. It's just very like, it's like, good. It's like the common.
It's a double standard.
Yeah. It's one of those things. And ultimately, like I said, we didn't get through all of the I've heard of third wave feminism. Mm-hmm.
That's what we're in right now.
Yeah, which is like,
which is, let's kill our
crazy
babies and celebrate it as a satanic ritual.
Which never makes sense because my body, my choice. It's like, well, what part of your body dies? But whatever.
Right.
But they go through like the whole thing, and it's not like, don't.
Someone
you do
told me all these women protesting at the abortion rallies, these feminist rallies, are. And I didn't say this. I'm quoting.
I think I know what you're
saying. They're all the ugliest women and they're all the women who are the least likely
to ever be
to ever have a baby in the first place to have an abortion. Like, nobody is trying to touch you, quite frankly. Like, nobody wants you. So why are you out there saying, like, you know, let me have my abortion? You have never had an opportunity
to have an abortion. To point A to get
Nobody wants to even, you know, whatever, the swipe left. You're just continuously swiped over on whatever app that is. Like, nope, nope, nope. So just stop lying to yourselves. You know, grow your hair out, lose some weight, you know, and eat a salad.
So, yeah, I guess when it comes down to the waves, like, you know, wave one is like, hey, we're...
Was that a little hard?
We're humans. We're people, too. And we deserve to be looked at like people. And I am 100% on board with all of that.
And bash the last generation of men who built America. And these women saying, like, you can get the tip because you have the patriarchy. Well, the restaurant that you want to go eat at and the building you're living at was built by a man. So show some respect. Tip your hat. Third.
As far as the waves are concerned, I think we should all just get really quality do-rags and get... Mad waves.
Third wave feminism. Third wave feminism. Heather, you want to say something? Third wave feminism. Go ahead and grab a mic.
I get the joke.
That began in the early 1990s, prominent in the decades prior to the fourth, the grounded in the civil rights advances of the second wave generation. Okay. I just want to, guys.
Miss Heather, are you third wave feminist? Is that why you're here today?
I'm like I said, that first wave, that really does make sense. I mean, I actually did, like, studies and reports on that. Just because, like I said, a woman should be able to inherit something. Like, even in the Bible, you know, the women who, you know, the one father that died, remember, they come
in. You're saying that was wrong, how Boaz and Ruth, it was all set up? Because I would say that's how it's supposed to be.
The near kinsman.
Yeah, I think you should have to marry your dead husband's brother.
No, you're talking about the one in the Bible where it's like the daughters die.
The daughters.
It's the Gileadites.
And they say, yes. Hey, wait for my child.
They run to the fire.
Hey, real quick, can you pause this? Because I have to do something.
Hey, put the headphones.
That's funny.
No, I understand. I get that. What do you think about the bash fest on the patriarchy, the historical patriarchy that built America?
No, guys, build America. Get over it.
Ha! See? No, I just want to hear it.
History's history.
Well, here's my thing. I just think...
It's so comfortable over here.
It's not so crazy nice. Hot. Dude, you opened the door. It felt amazing.
Miss Heather, I think you are the most independent... Far... What a woman should be as far as independent, strong... A doll, as Nikki said.
Nikki's in my
But
world.
My point is... You are as strong as a woman as you can get, as independent as you can get, can take care of herself, can provide for yourself as you can get without being
manly
and like what's the word I'm looking for? Like, just nauseating.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean? Because you don't go around bashing men acting like you're better than men and acting like you can do a better job. Men are stupid. But you are very capable of providing and taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. That I'm not being smart, but like that's what a woman is supposed to be. You're not supposed to like thumb down those characteristics that you have as a survivor.
Bible, even in the Bible, it's like she looks at a piece of property.
Exactly.
Like it's
she
not like
the field and buy
your whole purse. Like, your whole purse is not like
Proverbs 31
make food
was
and
a
make
real
babies.
Estate agent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's my thing: is I think there's
what would
a
you tell young girls?
Okay. What I would tell them is become capable.
That's good.
Don't get mad
That's
at
so good.
Men getting promoted, getting jobs, getting whatever. What have you done for yourself to improve yourself? Like I was bragging to you, I just did the whole flooring of
absolutely.
My upstairs because I thought it'd be fun
Do
to
it.
Learn how to install a floor.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get it done.
What do you think about the pay wage gap or whatever? That the alleged pay gap. Tell me about like what do you think
I
about
think
that?
Because she was in the corporate world. So.
Yeah, I was in the corporate world. So, I think okay. So there is a truth to like getting like your first couple jobs is by knowing somebody.
Yes.
So I think in the beginning of this, right, it was kind of like, you know, well, I this guy, I'm gonna, you know, obviously, you know, my friend's son, I'm gonna help him get the job as opposed to my friend's daughter. But I think, you know, like, once you have made yourself a skilled person where you could actually sell your skills and make money with it. If you're good, you know, nobody's going to say, well, I'm not going to hire you because you're a female. If you're good and if I was an owner of a company and I can make money by hiring you, I mean, people are greedy. They'll use who they got to use.
Here's what I think.
It has to be, you know, make yourself a skilled person.
Now, this is me personally.
Sure.
If a girl can do just as good as a job as a man,
mm-hmm.
there, like, I have no job. I have no problem at all paying the same amount at all. Like, there's no.
I think where that would happen, and I was guilty of it too, was in the very beginning when you're doing like asking for a salary. I think most women under. And myself included, would underbid myself just because I didn't really know my own value.
Right.
And now then when they find out that the guy in the cube next to him is doing the same job, is getting paid, you know, 10 grand more a year, and well, who's
which makes
that?
Sense. And just for being a man, I do get that. But it seems like the fight never stops there. Like, I get that. Like, you're doing the same job as a man. Mm-hmm. Just because you're a woman, you're getting paid $10,000 less. Like, I do get that. But it seems like when women are fighting for that, it never stops.
No.
There. It just.
There's always an overcorrection.
It always kind of keeps going, and then girl power. And shit. And it's just like, all right, guys, we get it. But let's be honest. I think right now, women are men make more than women because there's more men in the workforce doing jobs that aren't like secretary mm-hmm. jobs or. Right.
But keeping on, that's also a very modern thought. I mean, that's only happened in so many.
Oh, yes.
I mean, since even like the 70s, it's only been so many decades of this change.
Right.
There's also a mentality behind it. Like, in this specific top point of the topic is men are more likely to work 60 hours a week.
Right.
They're more likely to give up everything outside of their job to chase the dollar. Like, that's like
truckers. Like, yeah, people literally sell their life for a job.
But also, men are different than women in this way. Men actually, their whole identity usually is wrapped up in what they do.
Right.
Am I not like usually guys, I am a dentist. I am a trash collector.
Wired different. It's like
their job is actually tied up with their identity, where women, we have a job, but we don't. I don't identify myself as a graphic, you know, when I was a graphic artist or something like that.
But that's also, my wife is in an industry that's, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'd have to Google to look up the numbers. She works in an industry that's primarily run by women. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they're, do what?
Except for,
but that's what I mean. Like, if you go anywhere in the country and you walk into a salon, everybody there is more than likely female, cutting hair.
Right.
And that's just like she works in an industry with it, and she's gotten very skilled. She's very good at it. She's very successful at it. She's put the time, the effort to get really good
in
it.
That's what I'm saying. The whole being capable. She has a skill set.
Right. And that's because she's gotten so good at it, she can. It's interesting. I find it's interesting. Like, it's one of those things where, like, at first, I didn't, when I started to look at the hair industry, kind of like what she works in, I did not understand in what world a hair, like a cut and a color, should cost as much as she charges for it. Like, I didn't get it at all. I'm like,
you're gouging people.
Yeah. Well, no, it was one of those things. It was one of those things where it was just like, this is a haircut. Somebody pays that much for a haircut. But then, like, as I started to look at the numbers and how everything breaks down. She's put in the time. She's put in the effort. She's gotten good and skilled at it. Mm-hmm. And because she's put in so much time and she's gotten so good at it, she can go, well, I'm going to charge more than what you might be used to paying.
Yeah, because she's worth it.
Because she's gotten so good
she's
at it. She's put in
a decade.
And there's a demand for her talent.
It's one of those things where you look at this.
She has a skill set.
She's
that
capable.
Which
capable.
I would tell every girl,
that's what
you
I would
can
say,
do it.
Get capable.
But if you want to be a stay-at-home mom and raise babies,
Bless your soul.
That do it like that is frowned upon right now, and that is what our world needs. That, like, that's where our society has like went, because now all the kids are raised by somebody else.
But real quick, I also add, if you are planning on being a housewife, which there's nothing wrong with that, you know, housewife and raising children. Don't make that an excuse that when you do go to college, you're just trying to catch a guy or something like that.
Right.
Actually learn a skill set. Because yes, what if...
He might die.
Well, I was going to say...
He might leave you.
What if he could leave you? He could get cancer. He can get an illness where you have to take care of him. So, no, my thing is like...
Make
girls,
sure he has life insurance.
There are some girls, and it's mostly in the Christian circle, who think, I am just going to get myself a man and I don't have to worry about it because it's biblical. I'm going to do whatever. But I'm like, sister, you have no.
If David died,
clue.
Nikki's fine.
Yeah. Well, what bothers me,
life insurance, she'd be doing pretty good,
I'd
actually.
Be doing great. But what bothers me about that is I was just talking to Bethany Tweed, who is a stay-at-home mom with her kid, but only did that after her and Eric set up their finances way before they were having a kid. So that way, when they did have a kid, she wouldn't work and they would be financially set. But what I have an issue with...
Eric also has a very good job.
Yeah, Eric has a great
job. Eric is so rich.
Eric
is the richest man. You're buying next time we don't go out to eat. We never
do. But what I have an issue with is girls who are not married yet and their goal is literally to be a stay-at-home wife. Like, not even married yet. Kids are not even on the horizon. And they're like, I just want to be a stay-at-home wife. And I'm like, have more for yourself. Like, don't be with a guy because you need him. Be with him because you want him. Like, I'm not, I just have an issue. And
that's
this is like where the,
sticker.
Yeah, this is where like the feminism comes out. I'm like, I don't think it's a goal to be a stay at home anything. Now, if you marry someone and he's financially stable and that's what's good for your family, I think that's great. I think that's great that like you're going to have that time with your kids. Your kids will have a present parent at all times. I think that's phenomenal. But if that's your goal to where like that's what you're looking for, and I truly believe your relationship will suffer for it after, is because you're so hyper focused on being stay at home. To me, it just sounds lazy.
It will also sounds like entitlement. Like, I just feel like
maybe some feminism going on.
Really, yeah. Well, I also had an immigrant parent, and my parents very heavily pushed on like, if you want to be a valued employee, be the most valuable.
Yeah,
employee.
I agree 100%. You shouldn't. I think it's if girls want to get married and have kids, that's what my mom did. She got married and had kids and stayed home, never worked a job. That's great.
But I guarantee
she could
they set that up beforehand.
She,
like they used, talked
she
about
could
it.
Teach. She has a degree, whatever. But that is, I think, honestly, if we had to pick a box with the best, like, what would make society better? More stay-at-home moms.
Agreed.
Boom.
Agreed.
What would fix a lot of problems? Mothers raising their children, dads going to work. And coming home, but that's not where we live. We don't live there.
Right.
It's not happening. Like, you can't live on one income.
Yeah.
You mean,
yeah,
like,
nowadays, six figures is like a joke.
Yeah, you can't live on one. You have to have something. Like, I work a job at construction. I work for the church, and I breed dogs. And my wife cleans the church and makes money. Like, we've got four different sources. Like, you cannot just make it on one. You can't, I mean, we don't, we have a house payment. We don't have any car payments. You know what I mean? It's not like we have so many bills, but life is expensive. So it's hard to do that. But again,
I think
the best thing.
Let's not pretend that a woman who stays at home and raises kids doesn't have both the hardest job.
It is the hardest
and
job.
Also most rewarding job.
It's the
of
hardest.
All time.
It has to be the hardest job. And I think it needs to be preached on more how needed that is and how. Because I'm just figuring that out in the last 6 months. My wife at home with the baby. It, to me, there's nothing more valuable than what my wife does. For like, that's, I've wanted nothing. I've not, like, see, for me, I don't want my wife to have to go to work. Now, she has her teaching degree. She wants to teach again at some point. That's great. She wants to do it. That's wonderful. I don't know what God will do. She still does a side hustle, whatever.
Right.
But I wanted to be able to provide and have her be able to stay home with her babies. That's what I wanted. I'm not saying everyone has to do that. My kids might turn awful. My point is, but that's what I wanted. That's the pattern I felt like God wanted. I feel like that's how it's set up in the Bible. So I'm trying to pattern it as the Bible. I think that's what everyone, you know, in this room would want. But then again, what happens when it all falls apart? And then when it is pushed, the girl and the man are at work and the kids at daycare or the kids at school, the government's not supposed to be educating our kids.
Mm-mm.
And everyone whatever you're on daycare, but daycare has your baby at the most primitive, influential years of their life when they need their mom. And I read something like, when a baby goes to daycare at like 5 months old, it is like they have to literally to function. There's this thing in their mind that has to shut off and act like their mom is dead or they cannot function. And so they have to go through this trauma every single day, and it has a disconnect. And the baby, I think it's the babies who were raised in daycare, or whatever, the statistics show that they're less connected with their parents because they've had to learn to just, well, she's gone again, it's fine.
Right.
And they have to detach to survive. And the mom has to do that too. The mom puts the kid in daycare, and there's all kinds of, like, I'm not just saying this, I can find you the, like, videos and whatever. The mom puts a kid in daycare, then goes to work and has to just, I don't have a kid, I'm working eight hours, and then comes and picks up her kid, and the kids have to do the same thing. And now they just have, you know, and that's how their whole life is. Do what you have to do, but that is not
ideal.
How God set it up.
Right,
that
right,
is
right.
not the best way to do it. But people got to do what they got to do. I'm not, you know.
See, this is where I feel like this is going to turn into a debate real fast.
That's fine.
We don't have kids right now.
What do you do with your dogs, though? I'm
just joking. My dogs are super independent, but we're one of the few out of our friends that do not have kids, and it's, I'm just not there yet. Like, mm-hmm. I just turned 30, and I'm at the point where I'm like, I need to start making serious decisions about this because I don't want to be old either. But it's just not realistic for me to stay home if I do have a child.
I get it.
Because, like, to be real, it would be more realistic for David to quit and be a stay-at-home father. But, I mean, again, the two household income thing, like, is in this day and age, no, is kind of needed. But I'm not saying I also don't believe in, like, daycare for us either. Like, I think working to pay for daycare at this point is pointless, because have you looked into daycare?
If you do daycare, you're working the job just to pay for the daycare.
I'm like, at that point, just stay home.
You're right. Working to pay
you're
for the
You're using the same amount of money. But I don't know. I argue about this with my 14-year-old niece all the time, because she has some hard Bible beliefs. She thinks that you're not, like, obeying the will of God if you are able to have children and choose not to. And she also believes that, like, if you don't stay...
I don't believe that.
Well... Again, my niece is 14, and she also believes, like, if you can stay at home with your children, like, and you're not, then you're missing those years. And I do feel
I will say that is a huge, like, the daycare thing. I hear that all the time. Like, there's that one lady, Dr. Laura. Have you ever heard her?
Mm-hmm.
100%. Like, and she's not even a Christian. I mean, brutal when these moms call and say, I work a job. You put your kid in daycare? You don't love your children? You're an awful woman. I'm not saying
that's
that.
What I hear. That's what I hear.
I understand,
like,
there is
being
that,
a Christian,
that,
I hear that all the time.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't believe it's the best. And if you're going to do something, if you're not going to homeschool your kid, what's that?
Basically, that's sometimes
I'm
that's
sure
what they
something
say.
Against me.
I think it might be nice. Say something like Nikki here. Or that's what I was going to say maybe not a full-time, like, if you, you know, you can maybe, like, come up with a happy medium.
Like Mandy, right, like my wife's cousin worked at home, opened her own business at home to do hair so she could stay home with her kids. Her kids aren't in daycare. That's what she did.
We would figure it out. And his parents literally live across the street from us. So
that's what I'm saying.
But that's the village then. Like your own family. That's still family.
I mean, now that I'm older, I look at my mom and I'm like, you are a superhero.
I think
I have no idea how she did it.
Mentality. I just had a stroke on camera. The mentality,
life insurance is kicking in.
The mentality behind there is there's a very big difference between a mom that has to go to work and has to be about her business and do what she has to do versus a mom who is choosing a career over her children.
Yes.
There's a very big difference. And I think that those two mindsets get very conflated. Yes. Like if you have to go to work because, you know, like we said, like the way the government has it set up, you have to have more than one income. If you have to go to work so that your family can survive and you can go forward, then do what you have to do. Be capable, have a skill set, go do what you have to do. But if you're at a point where I am woman, hear me roar, I'm going to go make money.
Right.
And I don't care if my kid grows up without a mom because I have to be about my dollar. I have to be about my career. I have to put me ahead.
Right. Well, that's a selfish edge.
Yeah, it's exactly. And when you look at like the feminist mindset, they look at that of I need to be put first, even though I have a kid and my career
that
comes
I can,
first.
To prove that I am woman. To prove and it's
and
there's
they,
none of that needs
they'll
to happen.
Live that way, but they'll act as if they're saying, "Well, I'm just doing what I have to do to get by." And it's those are two very different mindsets, and I think that. And so, in a lot of cases, that's something that needs to be addressed. Like, no, like, I'm all about, like, do what you have to do in order for your family to get by. Like, nobody's saying, like, you have to, you know, like in our case, I would never say Nikki has to stop working. Mm-hmm.
We'd be Poe.
No, but like,
here, can I play this video about daycare? I just found I was looking for it.
Daycare so that mom could go back to work would have we were told that putting a baby in daycare so that mom could go back to work would have no impact on a baby as long as they had loving parents.
We've created three generations of children with attachment disorders.
When you drop your baby off for an 8-hour workday, what does that feel like for an infant?
They feel like you've died.
Is it true that the only way mothers are able to go back to work after 3 months is to emotionally disconnect from their babies?
It should tell you that maybe you have an attachment disorder that needs to be looked at. They get into what we call schizoid states, where they flip a switch and they say, I'm not going to care anymore. If you flip that switch every day, your baby is going to start to flip that switch too.
They think that it's benefiting them socially.
No, just no. I can debunk that myth.
If you had to say, okay, you are the ideal candidate for daycare, who is that person?
I don't think anybody's a good candidate. I wish that a single mother would get together with another single mother and hire a babysitter.
There are moms who say, well, my child has been in daycare since they were 6 weeks old and they're fine.
Sometimes the symptoms come out in early childhood. Sometimes they'll come out in middle school.
What is better for part-time moms?
To work every day a little bit.
Why is it crucial for moms to not repress feelings of guilt?
When we tell women to ignore their guilt, we are not doing any favors to those women, and we are definitely not doing any favors to their children. Online, mothers are told just ignore your guilt. You're basically telling mothers to shut down their sensitive empathic nurturing, which is critical to the survival of that child. We're talking about an epidemic of mental illness in children and adolescents, which I think is rooted in the way we raise our children from a young age.
So, I was trying to find that video. That's where I got that information that I had said.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a video. I'm not a doctor. But, you know what I mean? I watched that video, but I've seen a bunch of stuff like that. My point was, I tend to agree with that. As far as that attachment disorder, we've got some problems with this generation. Like, mm-hmm. we've got some bad problems. So I don't know if it's all that, but I do think it is the whole. I think social media has a big part of it, and I think
social media is getting our roles majority of issues.
I think
okay, but also on the other end of that, I feel like I'm going to say this, and people who listen to this podcast are going to think I'm taking shots. I am, but
I am.
I also can't stand when like you're a stay-at-home mom as a Christian. That was your goal. This is what you wanted, but you're also trying to be a social media homemaker influencer. Nothing boils my blood more because I don't want photos of your child like playing in the sandbox and being like, we made the sand ourselves in our kitchen. It was left over from the sourdough cooking, something stupid like that. But then at church, your child is a demon and doesn't know how to sit through a service.
She's talking about people in your church.
No. This is like in general, but there are people that exist, I think, in any church. And that's why I said people who listen to this are going to be like, I know who she's talking about. There's probably one in your church. We all know.
Probably.
But like, I also think like people are so hyper-focused on portraying perfect Christian family on social media.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing.
But then
going
it suffers
right
behind
too.
The door.
Like the homemaker stuff going around.
I hate it.
Which
no,
I literally want to punch it in the throat.
No,
social media is so filled with everyone doing everything, trying to put the homemaker stuff.
Listen,
it's great. Like live. I don't care. You can do what you want, Nikki. I agree with you. I don't have any qualms with that at all. But I don't really know anyone personally who is. I don't know anyone who is doing the homemaker thing. You know what I mean?
You like, do, but you do you have social media?
I have the Seed of Podcast.
Okay,
I don't
so
have
no.
anyone that I know who's
so
like
you don't see
the
it.
Homemaker making the wheat from home.
But
and
I guarantee if you ask
children.
Kayla, she'll be like,
I'm sure
I have plenty of
absolutely.
People.
But my wife doesn't do that.
his wife is Kayla, by the way.
My wife is Kayla. But I'm not really into all that. So she'll post stuff of the baby, but my wife is not like trying to
but
be an influencer.
Not, yeah,
so.
That's not portraying as a
right. No, I understand.
Social. I'm talking about people who
it's
are
distasteful.
Like
distasteful.
At 6 a.m., I woke up and I started the bread. Yeah, and at 7 a.m., the children were arisen and they were just running and laughing. And like,
they were risen, Harry.
They were risen.
The children were risen.
And then we get
to
church and your child like has zero regard for authority. They can't sit through a Sunday school class. They have,
see, I have no regard for anything. Because there's no one in my church that does influence. And all the kids just don't listen in general. So.
Yeah. That sounds like a you problem.
That's not my problem.
That's what kids do. So are we gonna?
I'm not in the nursery.
So are we red pill? Is that what we're talking about right now? So are we, yeah, we red pill?
What's that mean?
Huh?
Like, it's like the Matrix, the red pill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been drinking the Kool-Aid, but now you see the truth.
Yeah, we're red pill, bro. We're red pill. Andrew Tate. Woo woo.
I am. To make it very clear, I am against like the feminism movement. I'm just not for the complete opposite side where it's like the ideal Christian household is so pushed, and that if you don't have it, you're
there's definitely cults
lower
out there
in God's eyes
who are like pushing the women. If you can't hold a job, women can't do the, like, there's definitely some weird groups out there that are way too far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you've said one thing too far. I don't think I've said one thing too far. I don't think you think we have.
You got a little misogynistic there for a minute because you're like, you're ugly. You're not even having children. And I was actually, I was sitting on the couch and I was like, oh, Cam, this is not good for the pot.
I stand by it.
Yeah, bro. Listen, man, if the croc fits, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, calm down. That's fine.
That was the truth. But,
well,
I had one more video.
Well, the videos. I bet you do.
I'm getting tired of you.
What's funny is I usually can't hear people talking in the background, but I can hear Dustin perfectly.
Good for you. See, like, why is it like now it's not? Oh, is your phone? Oh. Not yours, bro.
Dustin doesn't talk on the podcast. Comes off the podcast, starts talking from the sidelines.
I know, I got your mic.
I just need an opportunity to speak. See, now I don't really have any rules.
He acts like a feminist.
A little bit.
But yeah, back to females. Make yourself...
Go ahead. Say it. Respond to what she said.
Yeah, well, my thing is just make yourself capable. Don't... I find no pride in sitting back and acting helpless and having someone else do it. Now, I am all for... You know, when a man opens a door for me, I applaud it. I'm like, thank you. As so gentlemanly.
Yeah, I am 5'2". I can't reach anything without him.
When men come and like they see me carrying something heavy, and they're like, can I help you? I'm like, I would love that. So
women
I love
should,
it. I think that's
women
great.
Should applaud men trying to be chivalrous. And that has been
been
destroyed
too.
In our young men don't want to do a thing now because like if a guy gets up and gives a seat to the woman and she's like, no, I'm not sitting there. You make everyone feel uncomfortable. You make the man feel uncomfortable. He's trying to do something nice. You look stupid. Yeah. And now there's an empty seat and no one's sitting in it.
Right.
No.
I'll just sit in it.
Let him. Okay. When a young man opens the door, walk through it. Don't say, I can open my own door.
No, I
don't
applaud,
do that.
I
like, that's
say,
stupid. That's
I'm
what
like,
I can't
oh,
stand.
Oh, you know, your parents raised you right. If it's a little guy, especially, I'm like, oh, you keep that up. You're going to have a great wife and stuff like that. I tell them all the time, like, that's good stuff. But definitely be capable. Be strong. I'm not saying you have to, you know, look like a nasty bodybuilder, but I'm saying, like, you know, do something with your body. Like, you know, try to be strong. You know,
do something.
No, I think there's a certain amount of pride, and I'm saying pride and good
you
pride.
Hot
you
spot?
Can do something yourself.
Hot spot.
Depend on other people.
Mine isn't working right now. Yeah. No, it's good.
It's just a good, beautiful thing.
Yeah, sometimes pickle jars, I know it's so cliche, but like I can't get open jars. My little Flintstone fingers don't like fit around the lid. I'm like, bub.
Can you publicly
please?
Say thank you to the patriarchy for having everything that you enjoy and love in life?
Yeah.
See, that's a good, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, I'm good. Everything she said, I'm fine with it because, yeah. Right. And I appreciate all the things that women bring to society. Amen. I have
good.
A son because of a very wonderful woman. And,
no,
I'm
and
here
I hope your son
because
grows
of
up opening doors.
Wonderful, wonderful. I was raised by a wonderful woman. So, Lord. Oh, Harry, I got it. All right, here it is. My last video, and we can end on this.
I
We're asking to get paid the same percentage of revenue.
You want this is, of course,
we're not
WNBA.
Asking to get paid what the men get paid. We're asking to get paid the same percentage of revenue.
You want to get paid the same percentage in revenue as the NBA players? You're going to regret that. Let me show you why. The average WNBA player's salary is $113,000. And the average NBA player's salary is $9.7 million. The NBA's league revenue is $10 billion. And the league revenue for the WNBA is $60 million, which is 100% subsidized by the NBA because the WNBA is a failed organization. Anyway, to calculate the percentage of revenue share, we take the average NBA player salary, which is $9.5 million, and divide it by the league revenue of $10 billion, and we get 0.095%. Don't forget to move the decimal place over twice. And we do the same to calculate the percentage share for the WNBA players. We take the average salary, divide it by the league revenue, and we get 0.19%. And when we divide the 0.19% revenue share that WNBA players make by the 0.095% share that the NBA players make, we see that WNBA players are making twice what NBA players are making. So you're gonna have to cut your salary by half if you wanna make the same percentage revenue that the NBA players are making. Dang, equality. Not so nice when it's not convenient for you. Man, that's tough.
We're not asking to get paid.
It says in the description, math is misogynistic.
So. I don't believe in the WNBA.
My favorite one is where the guy's like, this new movement where the lady's not taking the man's name. She's like, yeah, we're going to, I'm not taking the woman's name or my husband's name. He's taking my name and I'm free and I'm so, expressing myself and we're taking a stand. And he's like, okay, that's good. So you're just going to
Keep
your father's name. It was another man. He's like, dude, we have to, the patriarchy goes deep. It's way back. So. Just think about that for a while. Yeah,
so
I will say I regret not moving my maiden name to my middle name. Yeah. Only it's a huge part of my culture, though. Like, it's very Portuguese, and yeah. I wish I had moved it to my middle name, but it has nothing to do with. Yeah. I would still take his
last
name.
Well, I'm glad you took his last name.
Yeah,
yeah, you didn't have a choice, really.
She doesn't need you. She likes you. But she doesn't need you. Just remember that.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
I think it's better to want to be with someone than to need them.
I think I both need to be with them. I think it goes both ways.
When I say I don't need him, I mean, like,
that's really... dirt, like, it's you're trash.
Well,
yeah, you're trash.
Dustin needs him. That's all that matters. It's not that I don't need him. Like,
you don't need him. He needs you. And that's
no. I don't think he should need me either.
I think he should.
Yeah, well, probably the man would be starving. Probably yeah. He can't make nothing but hot pockets and ramen. So
me too. So I need my wife, and believe me, she needs me. I'm just joking. All right, we're done. Love you guys.
Harrison needs to go to bed.
Harrison's getting married tomorrow. Say hello again. All right, okay. Here's Dustin. Harry. From one to another. All right, email in what you thought. Email in what you think about Nikki's comments. Let us know. All right, well, we're going to end it out.
Do you guys watch the Instagram?
Yes.
To get peace, to walk with the
Jesus Christ, Jesus.
Well, I like that.
He ends it every episode.
Say it.
I just said it.
I didn't think you were talking to the mic.
The only way to gain perfect peace is to walk with the Prince of Peace.
Attaboy.
Christ Jesus.
All right. Well, what'd you think about that? You want to say something?
It was good. I mean, so what we was talking about, the whole thing, there are no
I can bring
shortcuts.
You home. Nick, if you want to go, I can bring him home.
Or back we're to about the to hotel. Be done a little bit.
Well, I gotta bring in there anyway, and then go to the airport. So
what time? 11:30.
Yeah.
How far is it?
Flight gets here.
Did you check?
26 minutes.
Okay.
It's 11:11.
Make a wish.
Thank you.
I'll just say this: there are no shortcuts to success, as far as whether guy, girl. It's if you want something, you have to work for it, and that's definitely a mindset that's not wanted in today's culture. And even just philosophy that, not philosophy, but just God established order and God put order. Even from the beginning, the devil would love nothing more than to completely overrule what he's put in place.
Yeah.
And it's just that lie that there's something out there that you're missing out.
Right.
Whether it be Eve, whatever it is. Eve. Yeah. I'm not even going like the roles of this, whatever. I'm just saying, like, there's the devil's lie is always there's something you're missing out. You know, hey, if you want to be successful, hey, they're trying to keep you away from a job and a career because they want you to, you know, if you, the only way you'll be happy is you find your fulfillment in whatever. And I'm not saying, you know, every, you know, cookie cutter. Again, I was raised by a mom mm-hmm. who had to play both roles, and it is what it is. And, you know, is that saying, well, you know, that's not a way. It doesn't matter.
Your kids will be raised the same way.
Right. Yeah. I won't be around. That's it. So, but it's just, this is devil's lie that's being played to, okay, hey, the family roles, identity.
Speaking of roles,
you're missing something. You know, go out, search for yourself. The whole just philosophy of living for yourself. It's just, it's the oldest lie in the book. God is keeping something from you. You need to go, whatever it is. You know, guys are the same way. Girls are the same way.
In the garden.
Your truth.
The devil played on the woman's emotions. And it ruined culture. That's what happened. Eve, you want this? Yeah. This will give you this. Yeah, I don't have that. And you know, they were perfectly, Adam and Eve in the garden, it was perfect. Like, it was perfect. That's how God set it up. It was perfect. They were both, I mean, there was Adam, and then God made Eve for Adam, Adam for Eve. Adam for Eve. But she wasn't, like, she, like you said, she accepted the lie. She believed something else, and she took what she wasn't supposed to, and then her kids are screwed up. Now, obviously, it's Adam's fault, too, because he, it says in, what's it, in John, is it John, the first John?
Or
Galatians.
By one man's sin into the world.
It says Eve being deceived, Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was deceived. Adam knew, but he just chose.
Right.
So the point is, as a large over, and like what Nikki had said as far as social media and stuff, if you take all internet out, you bring it back to 60 years ago, no social media, no internet. It would, the perfect system is where the man is providing for the home and the woman is supporting the husband, raising the kids, going to church, living for God. Like, that is how, that is the perfect, that's how God set it up.
God set up.
And you said, God is not against other, like you said, God is not, like, do I think Nikki and you were out of God's will for her work? No. I think it's exactly what God wants you to do. I think you're in God's perfect will. Because what happens is, this is how it's set up. This is how it's set up. But then what do you do when an explosion happens and culture is the way it is? Like, do I think my wife is wrong for teaching and being a teacher? No. But in a perfect world, I would rather my wife stay home and work, and I would rather provide, and I'd rather her be the one to raise my kids.
Right. I think David wants to be a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean,
Dustin, what do you think? I mean, what do you think about that? What would your perfect? Would you want your wife to be able to, if you could, you provide, your wife stay home, raise the kids?
Well, I mean, look at culture when this was actually a functional thing in society. Look at it now,
right?
The argument with anything. Like, well, we used to only have trains, you know, but like,
yeah, but at the end of the day, like, if you look at it, it all comes down to an attack on the family.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's been happening.
That family is nuked.
They.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, the biggest thing is people think that it doesn't matter what kind of family you have. And, like, obviously, you know, life happens sometimes. But the ideal role, the way that, like you said, the way that God laid it out was, it was supposed to look this way. It was supposed to be this way. And we're the ones that mess it up. You look at, like, the divorce rate in this country is, like, I don't know if it's over 50% yet, but
I think it might be at 50%.
You know what it is in the army? It's 70%.
Really?
You are most likely going to be divorced. It's almost guaranteed.
Is that because people get married for the wrong reasons?
Well, it's a combination of things. You get paid more money
exactly.
when you get married.
That's what I was going to say.
So there's that, but there's also, I would say this. I mean, obviously, like, I'm only on one side of it, but all of my friends who were married in the army and are no longer married, I would say 8 out of 10, their spouses cheat on them. Because, you know, you have this person, you make this connection, and then you leave them for 9 months. And then, but they're still surrounded by all the same, like, people in the army are the biggest pigs in the world. I mean, it's disgusting. That's, like, the only thing they think about. So they will flock to these women whose husbands are all fighting war, and they know the situation. Right. They know what they're feeling. They know they're lonely, and they prey on that. So it happens so often. I would say that's probably the biggest thing. It's because the military just makes them leave for so long all the time.
Yeah. So I know there's going to be women listen to this and say, "Well, I make more money than my husband, or I do this." That's fine. I am not against that.
Maybe you should pay him more.
But I am just saying, as a culture, on the grand scheme, it's a better system. Like, your system is working for you, and however it has to work, it has to be that. I get it. But it's a better system when God is the head. You have a pastor, head of a church, and men, the heads of their families. And if he is the head of the family, and he's setting it up how it's supposed to be, not overlording, not being a dictator, not being a jerk. And of course, there's so many who are. How many people do we know who were raised like super legalistic and like kids can't do anything, the dad is, and now all the kids are just crazy. Like, you know, they're just wackos because the dad was an idiot and thumbed the wife down and didn't let her do anything. And woman, right, I'll tell you what, right. Like, so many, I could tell you 10, I mean, endless amounts of men who were just idiots.
Name names, go.
And that's wrong too.
Yep.
So you have to have a balance of grace, and I cannot stand men who are just like, "Well, I'm the head of the house. I'll tell you what to do, you stupid broad. Get in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant."
I haven't heard anything that I disagree with.
Roles and responsibilities with the roles. If you're in position of leadership in the family, you're supposed to also follow everything that goes with that God-given role.
Yes, you're supposed to.
Gave himself.
Yes. Okay. Steal the mic.
Stolen.
To be very clear, if my husband did tell me that he was like, "I want you to quit your job, and I think this is what the Lord wants for us,"
I know, yeah,
I 100% would, because I do, however, like, full heartedly want a traditional household as far as like him being the head over me. And
there's no way I'd let him be the head over me.
it's a very heavy cross for her to bear.
Yeah, so. I think you're totally.
To be very clear, while I'm like, I'm all for like women working if that's what like the Lord leads them to do, and that if their life permits that, I'm also still 100% for like the man being the head of the household. If he comes to you saying like the Lord put something on his heart and this is how something should go in your household, and even if you disagree, you should just submit and then pray to God. If you truly believe that's not right,
you have to trust God to keep his promise.
To change his heart eventually.
Yeah.
And that's in God's hands. But it's not for you to like defy your husband and try to like one-up him, essentially.
Right.
So just to be very clear, I am for traditional household here.
Yeah. Well, that's even the same thing with kids. The children obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Well, your parents might be like idiots and you're a kid. But if you honor, respect them, like there were things my parents said, like I thought were stupid. Like, I'm like, what? This is stupid.
Well, give us some examples.
Okay.
Oh, he's
I'm
going to.
A certain age, and I have to write a girl a letter instead of being able to text, and I'm a certain age. I'm like, this is stupid.
And so they can read it. Like,
I understand.
It's traceable.
Well, traceable. I understand. My point is, as a teenager, I'm like, this is stupid. I didn't agree with it. I thought it was dumb.
But you did it anyway.
I said, I'm going to do it. And it totally worked out.
Cameron is,
and God blessed it. And I'm thinking, and I just set out to do that, thinking, I don't agree with this. I don't like this. I think it's stupid. I'm going to submit, and God is going to have to redirect it and bless it because I'm honoring His word. And He did. And He does it every single time.
And that goes across the board. If parents, like, all right. So if kids honor what their father and mother say or do, even. Even when it doesn't seem to make sense, or even when you don't understand it, even when you think they might even be wrong, if you honor them, God will bless that.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with a husband and wife. When a wife honors what the husband says,
and the husband loves the wife.
And the husband, and the husband is doing what he's supposed to do. He loves the wife. He is following God. Even when it might not make sense to the wife,
right.
If she honors the father, if she honors her husband, and she goes with that because that is her role, God blesses and honors that. So it's like, it's one of those things where like, I mean, we've said it 100 times. God set up a man and a wife. They're wired specific ways. They're built differently. And if you work according to that.
Dustin, you might have to go.
You work according to that?
Yeah, they haven't landed yet, but.
Oh, we got to wrap this up.
No, probably.
Yeah. And that's what God. Here's what I'll end the podcast with. This is that every once in a while, I think that as a man, we should see things from a woman's perspective.
Big problem for me.
Which is why when we go home, I'm gonna look out my kitchen window.
Because that's where they belong.
That was funny. I thought you were going a totally different direction.
Perfectly.
With that.
I gotta be honest with you. I was trying not to smile before the punchline.
2-in-1 package. You got a wife and appliances.
There you go. All right, Dustin. We'll cover that gospel.
All right. The Bible says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Don't overcomplicate. I mean, I know that we give the gospel drop every episode. If you're not saved, you don't know what that means. It means that accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that God raised him from the dead. And when you do that, you have eternal security through what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. But I think most of our constituency is probably people that are already saved. So I don't know. I can speak about this from a personal perspective, but maybe you're saved and you're kind of in, you're kind of out, you're not living right, you're not living for God, and you're worried about losing the things of this world and giving your life to Jesus. And you're worried about how what that's going to look like and how your life's going to be and all the things you're going to miss out on. And I can promise you that everything you think you're going to be missing out on, you're not. Your life will be so much better. It's going to have an actual sense of purpose. It's going to be fulfilling. You're not going to be in a state of depression. You will get yourself out of the pit that you dug for yourself. Literally the best decision you could possibly make is living for the Lord.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week on the Calm Down It's Fine podcast.
Okay. It's fine.
You gotta hit that button.
Yeah, the red one.
The red one.
Yeah, you gotta end it, the podcast. He's not ending it.